Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. Today is another AMA episode, that is, Ask Me Anything. I love to answer your questions, and if you have a question you think is going to be of broad interest, send it in. I'll answer it live on the air. Send your questions to Victor at victorjm.com. That's Victor at victorjm.com. Today's question comes from Alan, who asks, I've been listening to your show for about 2 years now and love the depth and variety of what you share. I'm amazed at how much you can pack into just a few minutes. My question is, what are your minimum deal standards when you consider a new development deal? I'm finding the numbers are more difficult to make work in the current environment with the rise in interest rates. Have you altered your standards to make projects work? Well, Alan, this is a great question. When I look back over the past decade, I would say that our underwriting standards have not really changed hardly at all. There's no question the deal fundamentals have changed, and it is more difficult to make the numbers work today than, say, a year ago. The question really needs to be broken down further to understand what to do at different stages in a project. See, development projects are a one-way street. Once they're started, there's very rarely turning back. It's very difficult to stop, and it's very difficult to go backwards. Market conditions can change, and what looked like an amazing opportunity a year ago could look very different a year later. Who would have predicted the supply chain disruptions of the pandemic and the price shocks that resulted? Who would have predicted that interest rates would multiply after the Fed guided that interest rates would remain low until 2024? All of these things change the market perspective. In our view, new projects, then and now, should deliver a 30% gain in profit at the project level between the start of the project and stabilization. We also want our projects to be of institutional quality, which means they need to be of a certain minimum size. You're not going to see us build a 30-unit building, because a 30-unit building will never attract an institutional investor. We want to see enough units that a single property manager will be dedicated to that one asset. Anything less than that means the costs are going to be too high for the property management, or the result would be substandard. We don't want either of those. When we underwrite a project from inception, we translate the goals for the project into investor returns. We're looking to design projects that deliver an annualized cash-on-cash return between 8 and 10% to the investor, and ultimately an IRR, an internal rate of return, in the high teens or low 20s on an annual basis. The cash-on-cash return is created by the cash flow, whereas the internal rate of return takes into account the regular cash flow and the capital events like a refinance or a sale of the property, that value creation that happens over time. We're not going to launch a project unless it meets those minimum criteria. We're looking for that high rate of return. The challenge comes when the market conditions change and the project's already launched, and the current numbers no longer match the initial conditions when the project was started. So what do you do then? Do you try and value engineer the project to improve the numbers? Do you redesign it to try and extract more value? Do you put the project on the shelf and hope that the market conditions will improve in maybe a year? Well, we look at all of those alternatives. Sometimes, parking the project could be the right decision if the risk profile changes too much and makes the project unstable. We have put a few projects on hold in the past year, and yes, a few investors were not happy with the fact that these projects are on hold. But we would rather take that difficult decision than risk investor funds by moving forward. They are difficult decisions. One thing we will not do is create a work of fiction and then move the project forward on the basis that those new assumptions are going to be borne out in reality. In some circumstances, we've altered the deal structure to offer a higher percentage ownership to the investors at the expense of our own profit if it looks like the project is still viable, but the returns are going to be unattractive under the original deal to prospective investors. We'll change the deal structure in those circumstances. We've made design changes to projects to increase density or to reduce unit sizes, to offer more features and amenities, or to increase revenue streams. For example, we've added more bathrooms to some units. We've created covered parking to increase revenue. We've added internet service to participate directly in that revenue stream. We've added parking in areas where parking was in short supply. That way, if there was ever to be vacancy in the market, we would be virtually guaranteed to be full. Over the past couple of years, I've seen deals getting done in the marketplace with very thin margins. I personally think those folks are taking insane risks, and they have a higher chance of default. We don't subscribe to the notion that underwriting standards should change to align with the current market reality. If the numbers don't work, well, they don't work. Maintaining a discipline in your underwriting is of vital importance. And if you compromise your underwriting criteria or you make a fundamental mistake in underwriting, there's very little that can help you, with the exception of maybe a bit of good luck. I want to thank you, Alan, for a fabulous question. And for the listeners at home, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.